Blog Talk Radio.
Ay, cariño. Ay, cariño. Si vieras cómo estoy desesperado por tu ausencia, soñando a cada instante con la luz de tu presencia, llamándote en mis noches y llorando como un niño, ay cariño, ay cariño. Tú sabes que mi culpa es adorarte con exceso. Si es cierto como dicen que el pecado tiene un precio, qué caro estoy pagando por quererte. Ay, cariño.
¿Quién soy yo?
nunca termina tu reinado cada rey. Sé que guardaste tu carcajada más brutal para anunciarle al mundo entero mi final. Recibí ahora la gran noticia de saber que no acabé, porque una luz de buena suerte sigue alumbrando mi camino más que ayer. Veo tus ojos como a mi puerta son mendigos de un perdón. Entra si quieres, aquí hay de todo más con una condición, que no te guardo rencor, más por la misma razón, tampoco te tengo amor. Como a mi puerta son mendigos de perdón. Entra si quieres, aquí hay de todo más con una condición, que no te guardo rencor, más por la misma razón, tampoco te tengo amor.
Mírame más, sigue mirándome así. Que no hay nada en este mundo comparado con tu forma de mirar. Mírame más, sigue mirándome así. Y no digas ni palabra, pues tus ojos ya me han dicho lo que sientes por mí. Vuelvo a vivir, vuelvo a creer que todo es bello para mí. Quédate ahí y no me digas pero nada, nada de ti. Mírame tú con la mirada en azul, que tus ojos me enamoran, me acarician y me besan y me hablan con ternura cuando me miras así. Mírame más, sigue mirándome así, que no hay nada en este mundo comparado con tu forma de comparado con tu forma
Grand Rising, Better Love, you are listening to the Truth to Power show with Eddie Rodriguez, and I am Beverly, and we are listening to the late, great Tito Pinta. Eddie Rodriguez, thanks for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Beverly. Better love to you. That's a phrase I learned from you. Tonight is a interesting night. We're celebrating now the anniversary of the passing of the late, great king of Latin music, Tito Puente. Rest in peace. Tito passed away on a Tuesday, May 31st, 2000. And I was there at the hospital in the morning with his family when he went in for his first operation. And then I was there during the afternoon when they came down and they said that they were ready to start on the next procedure. Something was going on there, big. And so I left because I had a show that night with the Tito Puente Latin Jazz Ensemble at Christie's Auction House. I had booked that club, and they wanted Tito Puente, but Tito told me to get him, you know, one of his boys, you know, boys meaning, you know, one of his close friends that could do the job, you know, be a front man,
right?
Because he was the front man. And so he told me, you got to get a front man to replace me there, because these guys, they don't know what they're doing. They just went back. So I got the great Afro-Cuban saxophonist, jazz saxophonist, you know, his name is Paquito de Rivera. You know, Paquito did the gig, and so I went to pick up Paquito to take him to the show. I had to go from NYU Hospital on First Avenue to across the George Washington Bridge to New Jersey to pick up Paquito and take him to the show. And so that's what I did. We did the show. When the show was over, I told Paquito on the way back, I said, Paquito, let's stop at the hospital. I want to see how Tito is doing. And he said, yeah, okay, great, you know. We got to the hospital. I did what I said I was going to, just go and find out how things going, just because I had been there all morning, all day, you know, just hoping for the best. And on my luck, I came back from the gig, you know, I had Paquita de Rivera in the car. I was taking him back home. And so Marjorie, Tito's widow, I said, Paquito de Rivera in the car, tell him to come over here, you know, come inside. I said, okay, so I got Paquito, we went inside. And, you know, Paquito and Margie are talking, and, you know, we're there. And then all of a sudden, the elevator doors open up, and he said, can the Puente family please come with me? And so Margie, I don't remember if Audrey was there, and Tito Jr. or Lonnie. I think so at that time, you know, Tito's kids and his wife was there. So they got in the elevator, and Paquito and I were just in the waiting area with some other people close to Tito Puente. And so a few minutes went by, and Paquito said to me, Eddie, you know, I have to catch a flight in the morning, but, you know, there's really nothing else that we can do here, you know. So I said, yeah, you're right. And that's what I told. So someone that was there. I said, look, you know, as soon as you hear the news, you know, let me know that Tito's okay, you know, call me. And so I took my Tito home, and then I went home. I had an apartment on the Hudson River in Edgewater, New Jersey. And I got home, and I got that call from the hospital, from his one of his friends. And the only thing she said to me, Eddie, Tito's gone. Oh, no, she didn't say Tito's gone. She said, Eddie, Tito se fue, se nos fue. Tito has left us. That was the word she used. And my heart sunk. I mean, it was a terrible, terrible moment, you know, because I had worked so many years to get to that point in the industry where I was working with an artist like Tito Puente. And, you know, then that was it. But there's a lot of things that were going on from this time right now, you know, weeks before his passing. There's a lot of things going on. I used to call him every day. He wanted me to call him every day and tell him what's going on. Because I used to get all the shows, all the bookings, everything, calls, everything came to me. And so he wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to stay on top of it. But, yes, you know, and the unfortunate thing is really unfortunate.
Did he have a long sickness or was it? Sure.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I was here in Puerto Rico. I was working with him already. April 20th, right after his birthday, he did a tour here in Puerto Rico, four nights with the Puerto Rico Symphony Orchestra. That was the last time people went to perform on this planet. You know, so we went from that gig into the hospital. I knew something was wrong. And the doctor confirmed that. He said, Tito, yes, there's something wrong. You haven't been taking your heart, you know, medication that you're taking. Where is it? You know, and he told me go to the hotel room to pick it up and to find, you know, get it from the shaving kit and bring it back. And, and so there's more about that, but this is this kind of time of the year, you know what I mean? It's not a time for really to be sad, but you know, I was thinking about Tito and the music, the romantic side of Tito Puente, or the music that he arranged, and he found some great lyrics. He had some great singers. So, you know, tonight, and you know, there was a dance performed in that music. You wouldn't think it existed today with reggaeton and Bad Bunny and trap and, you know, everything else. And salsa, well, salsa is cool, but, you know, cha-cha, you know, see many people dancing cha-cha anymore. But that was Tito's thing, you know, dancing, you know, making people happy, making people feel that they can dance. And this is something else. This is another side of Tito Puente. Because
the
lyrics, the romantic side, the romantic music, which some of the different lead vocalist that he worked with throughout his career. So I'm very glad that, you know, you invited me back on your show to do this celebration of the music of Tito Puente and remember him on his centennial, his birth on April 20th, and remember him on the anniversary of the day that, you know, he left us. He left us with a lot of great music, though. There's so much music of Tito Puente that's available. All you have to do is go to YouTube or Spotify for the listeners that you know, want to learn more, want to hear more Tito Puente. It's T-I, T like in Tommy, I like in Iris, T like in Tommy, O like in Oscar, T like a cup of tea, toe like your toe, Puente, that's with the P like in Peter, University. E like in Edward, N like in Nancy, T like in Tommy, E like in Echo. Puente.
And,
you know, a lot of great music of Tito Puente, you know, forever. You know, tonight we'll celebrate, you know, Tito Puente forever with a lot of the romantic music that, you know, made people dance, but, you know, during that time, that was the romance. That was the slow dance, you know. Mambo was fast. The cha-cha was in between. But this was,
okay.
You know, Tito Puente arranged this music for his orchestra. And the singers, most of the time, he would do harmonize with the vocalists on a lot of these compositions. So I hope the audience enjoys it, and I hope that you enjoy it too, Beverly. Thanks for having
me back.
Well,
this is my first time. I loved his drums and him playing the xylophones, but this is my first time hearing the romantic side of it.
Well, you know, at the time, once again, we're going back, you know, circa 1960s, 1950s, 60s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a dance, but it was a dance for you know, every race, color, and creed that you could think
mm-hmm.
of. They used to get together once a week to dance Latin music at a ballroom called the Palladium. And that was the dance
mm-hmm.
one. So that's the repertoire, you know. It was slow. And
okay.
It was cha-chas, and it was mambo. And, you know, today
mm-hmm.
mambo, the evolution of mambo and, you know, just the New York sound, you know, which is where it came from. In terms
mm-hmm.
of salsa music, you know, I think that mambo, you know, went a little bit more toward jazz and you know, just created a unique sound to dance mambo, but it wasn't called mambo at the time. It was just called Latin. As a teenager, we called this music Latin music, you know. We didn't call it mambo or cha-cha. You know, we knew how to dance it, but we called it all Latin music. Latin music, that term Latin music, was replaced with salsa music. And that salsa music, salsa music is all over the world today. And that salsa music, the king of Latin music, was probably the best known Latin music dance, you know, danceable music artist of the Americas, you know, born in Spanish Harlem, Puerto Rican parents, and was an amazing human being and an amazing composer, songwriter, musician, band leader, mentor, boss. I mean, it was really something. I got to tell you that I was blessed to have spent some time with him and working with him closely on a few albums, and hopefully we'll get a chance to play some of them before the 31st. So I've had a wonderful career, and I'm very fortunate and blessed that I'm able to share some of the music that I learned to love, because I didn't love this music growing up. You know, the boleros, in particular, I like the faster stuff, the mambo.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the bolero was for the Latin family. You know, when I was growing up in the Bronx in the 50s, you know, the type of music that I heard and I saw the teenagers dancing to was doo-wop. And that was like grind them up. That's what they used to call them, you know. It was grinding up and down, up and down. I guess they did that in Detroit, too.
Yeah.
But getting into the Latin side, the slow dancing didn't really, you know, work. What I really loved was mambo, which eventually was replaced with the word salsa, but not really, because it's still a dance form called mambo. And you can see in these dance competitions, they have mambo dancing, but they also include a salsa dancing competition. So it's all about dancing. It's all about having a good time. At this point, it was on point with that, and including the romantic side. So we're going to hear the audience might not, understand the words because they're in Spanish, but I
mm-hmm.
think when you love music, you can feel it, and you can feel the tone,
mm-hmm.
and you can feel the interpretation of the person singing it, how much soul they have, so to speak, how much feeling they put into the music. And, you know, those musical notes that they do with their voice, you know, really something to be admired. So I'm very happy to be with you tonight. Let's keep celebrating Tito Puente, the romantic side of Tito Puente on Blog Talk with Beverly D every Thursday from 9 to 11 Eastern Time. Live.
And with Eddie
with Eddie Rodriguez. Come to you live.
Yes.
Unedited from Puerto Rico on my iPhone. And I hope everyone enjoys the romantic side of Tito Puente.
All righty.
Deja que mis pensamientos logren escapar de la realidad. Permíteme soñar que pueda ser verdad nuestro querer. Deja que penetre en mis entrañas tu sentir. Quiero revivir contigo tu sufrir y todo aquel dolor de tu pasado cruel. Si por los fracasos de tu vida hoy te encuentras vencida y te sientes caer, levántate, apóyate en mi alma y dime si puedes ser feliz conmigo. Mis pensamientos logren escapar de la realidad. Permíteme soñar que pueda ser verdad nuestro querer. Fracasos de tu vida, hoy te encuentras vencida y te sientes caer. Levántate, apóyate en mi alma y dime mis pensamientos logren escapar de la realidad. Permíteme soñar que pueda ser verdad nuestro tan lindo, tus ojos tan verdes, más verdes que el mar, y en tus pupilas vi las heridas de tu penar. Déjame decirte que hace mucho tiempo te llevo clavada en mi corazón, y si te miento, hoy puedes darme tu maldición. Lágrimas dulces bebí de tus ojos aquella mañana en que te di mi amor. Ahora en tus ojos ya no hay alegría, dime vida mía, ¿cuál es tu dolor? Hoy miré tus ojos tan tristes, tus ojos tan verdes, más verdes que el mar, y en tus pupilas y las heridas de tu pena. Aquella mañana en que te di mi amor, ahora en tus ojos ya no hay alegría, dime vida mía, ¿cuál es tu dolor? Hoy miré tus ojos tan lindos, tus ojos tan verdes, más verdes que di las heridas de tu pena.
Y aunque quise
no pudo ser. Hoy me pides tú.
Sigas comentando, si dice la misma. salió ganando. Salí ganando, que el día en que te dejé, fui yo quien salió ganando.
Yes, Eddie Rodriguez is with us on Truth to Power, and we are listening to the romantic side of the late, great Tito Pinta. Eddie Rodriguez.
That was mighty fine, Beverly. You know, every week you get better, you know, in pronouncing the name of Tito Puente. You know, it's interesting how, you know, this the music we're listening to tonight is, you know, the arrangements. You know, you hear Tito's arrangements, you know, using violins, you know, it was all in the 60s. And that art, you know, we heard two different vocalists, the lead singers of Tito Puente during different times, different periods. The male voice we heard tonight is the voice of the late, great vocalist from Puerto Rico, Santos Colón. He was, rest in peace, he was with Tito, you know, for so many years, you know, that together when, you know, it, that was the music that I think got me interested. Is that there was an album that came out called Dance Mania, and that was my introduction to Tito Puente back in the 60s. Hong Kong Mambo was on that album, but a particular composition of his that was released during the Vietnam War. And there was an occasion where I was in junior high school at the time, and I had two other friends that had older brothers like me. And we were like three peas in a pod, you know, in each other's house or wherever we went to the dish or movies, they asked him wherever, you know, we were together. And all three of us had older brothers. My older brother, Mike, had already gone to Vietnam, and so my other close friend, best friend, Eddie Rosa, and he rest in peace, he had an older brother, same age as my brother, and his name was Charlie Rosa. Mike and Charlie were friends, and they rest in peace. And my other friend, we were all in the same class in junior high school, in eighth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, ninth grade, was my friend Paul. He's still alive and with us. He's a wonderful human being, retired, and his wife Karen, and, you know, taking care of business, you know, looking after kids, raising a kid that, you know, that he can now pay attention to parenting. And he's a great dad, and so it's not his child, it's someone else's child, but he's fearing the child, you know, he's good friends with the family. And so Paul's brother Carmelo, you know, was also, you know, on the same age as my brother. So Charlie and Carmelo were going to lead to boot camp the following day that I was at Eddie Rose's house. And so me and Eddie and Paul were together, and Charlie and Carmelo had joined as like in the buddy system, and they were going to leave the following day. And Carmelo playing Hong Kong Mambo. I don't know why, because he was going to Asia. You know, he was going to a place of, you know, Asian people. But he kept on playing it over and over. And I remember, you know, and it was on a, you know, we're talking about an album on a turntable. You got to put the needle back. The whole album is on it. You got to put the needle back to start it again. And he just kept on playing that song, that composition, over and over and over again. Brother came back from Vietnam. He didn't come back well. Eddie's brother, Charlie, came back from Vietnam. He did not return well at all. And Carmelo, he did not return from Vietnam. He was in that battle of Khe Sanh, where so many, you know, Marines were killed, you know, trying to take a hill. You know, fighting, you know, I was in the military. I joined the Marine Corps because it was a better alternative to the streets, because everybody was shooting heroin, you know.
Right.
It was just a bad place at the time, New York, the Bronx, especially where I came from. You know, people hanging out in the corner, no jobs. Saying, you know, it's dirty, you know, corruption, you know, the police, the mafia, you know, all these streets were controlled. So I decided to enlist, and I went to boot camp, and I was lucky. I'm a Vietnam era veteran, but I did not have to go fight in Vietnam for a war that we should have been fighting in the first place, and lost a lot of young Black and Puerto Rican men, kids, teenagers, 18,
right.
19, 17, 20, you know, they didn't have a chance. So, you know, that's how I'm Hong Kong Mama. So that's how I got into Tito Puente. I you know, not that at that moment, you know, but later on, whenever I heard that song, it was like, you know, it was just so sentimental to me. I just loved it, you know, and so. That's when I got into Tito Puente. During that time, you know, slow dancing was a form. You know, you dance with girls, slow dancing, you know. I'm sure a lot of babies were made during
right.
Because the words, the lyrics are so great. You know, one of the songs by La Lupe, you know, La Gran Tirana, what he said.
Was that Lupe? Lupe, we heard.
I was La Lupe, the queen of Latin soul. They used to call me, they used to call La Lupe the queen of Latin. So Afro-Cuban, came to New York, was in New York before Celia Cruz, and had the gigs. You know, she had the gigs. She was Tito, and she was part of the community, and fine, yeah, at the beginning. But, you know, she had a different lifestyle than Celia Cruz. Celia Cruz was anchored, you know, with her husband. La Lupe, she was with somebody, the father of a child, or moving from here, moving from there. You know, it was, you know, it happens to a lot of artists, you know, talent, God-given talent, but, you know, God takes us all through a direction, you know, so the direction of her direction was not getting to the heights of, you know, other famous Latin female singers. But she was a great singer. She sang as you felt it, you know. So, you know, this romantic side of Tito Puente, you know, like I said, Santito Colón, that's when I got into him. And then, you know, obviously La Lupe was around that same time, you know, and so the songs were empowering to women, you know. You know, and you know, one of the songs, you know, the last song, well, I don't know who wrote it, but the songwriter, the lyrics in English would say, "From your point of view, I'm the bad one, but you know, this is the greatest betrayal." song. She said, you know, things that happened, et cetera, and so on. But at the finale, she says, she said, the day that I left you, I was the one that ended up winning. You know, so all that sadness that she was talking about, she said, I'm the one, I won the day that I left you. And so, you know, it's interesting songs like that, empowering women, you know, at that time that you was not spoken about.
Because she sung with Tito first before the other lady, right? Celia Cruz.
Yes.
But was they sung together? Was they with him together?
No. One of the songs we'll hear it tonight is called Oriente. It says, ay, 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 Tito Puente la botó, because Celia Cruz had come into town and Tito was going to do something with her, you know? So, but Tito was still friends with him, with La Lupe, you know? Frankie Hollywood, you know, has told me stories of, you know, Tito Puente and La Lupe being with Tito and La Lupe, eating, at their, how friends, you know, how what kind of camaraderie that they had. That they had a lot of respect for each other. And so... But no, she was not disciplined. Then she, you know, she wasn't anchored, and she didn't have the best management around her at that time. It was hard. She's always lucky, you know, from Jose Curbelo, you know, Jose Curbelo got, you know, was involved with Morris Levy and that whole, you know, that movement at that time, we let records, you know. It was a Jewish community that was producing, recording, and releasing them with contacts at RCA Records, et cetera. You know, but Jose Curbelo left, and then Ralph McConnell, my friend Ralph McConnell, my mentor, you know, I stuck with Ralph for 30 years, you know, through Tito Puente, and then afterwards. May he rest in peace. So, you know, when someone like Ralph McConnell, you know, starts to invest in an artist and promoting them and putting them here, putting them there, putting them in Madison Square Garden, a big festival in South America, you know, the Fania All-Stars, you know, and pushing this brand, you know, the queen of Latin music, the queen of Latin, at the same time they were promoting salsa. They didn't say the queen of salsa music. They said the queen of Latin music for Celia Cruz. They said the king of Latin music for Tito Puente. And so, you know, Tito Puente had won that title from a night of who was going to get top billing, a ballroom that they would perform every week called the Palladium. And the big three orchestras, big band orchestras that would perform there was the Machito Orchestra, the Tito Rodriguez Orchestra, and the Tito Puente Orchestra. So Tito Puente, you know, Tito Rodriguez was like a kind of like a crooner, you know. Tito Puente is a musician, band, arranger, composer, songwriter, you know. So one night they had a, I don't know who came up with the idea, but it was a good idea. They said, okay, who's going to get top billing? And whoever the audience chooses to get top billing, you know, is going to win. And so they had, you know, the audience got involved in, you know, in choosing Tito Puente instead of Tito Rodriguez or Machito to get top billing. But the competition was really Tito, not with Machito at all, because Tito Puente loved Machito. I don't know about the relationship with Tito Rodriguez, but I'm sure there's a lot of respect and camaraderie. But they were in competition for the same audience. You understand?
Right.
That night they gave Tito Puente the title of the King of Timbales, El Rey de Timbales, the King of the Timbales. The Timbales are two drums with the sticks and the cowbells and cymbals on the side. Those are Timbales. And in Spanish it's called Timbal. So El Rey, the King, of El Timbal, of the Timbales. Tito Puente. So he got top billing. And then that name stuck. You know, that title kind of followed him throughout his entire career. And Ralph Mercado, you know, really turned it around and created that brand, the king of Latin music, for Tito Puente. And both rest in peace. And for Celia Cruz McKee, rest in peace. But once again, you know,
okay,
we're looking at a side of Tito Puente that I think, you know, people just think of Tito Puente, Oye Como Va. You know, it was one big hit, you know, but with Carlos Santana covered it, and that was it. But Tito Puente was a composer. I mean, he's a graduate of Juilliard School of Music in New York, the highest, the most esteemed conservatory school of music that you can imagine. And so he was an arranger. He knew music. He was creative. He constantly came up with ideas. And that's the music we're listening tonight to. Once again, going in a different dance form of that time, the bolero. And tonight we're calling it the romantic side of the late great king of Latin music.
Okay, here we go.
Necesario. Ya conozco este teatro, mintiendo que bien se queda el papel. Después de todo parece que esa es tu forma de ser. Yo confiaba ciegamente. Estudiado simulacro, fue tu mejor actuación, destrozar mi corazón, y hoy que me lloras de pena, recuerdo tu simulacro, perdona que no te crea. Me parece que es teatro. Y acuérdate que según tu punto de vista yo soy la mala. ¡Ay! Teatro. Lo tuyo es puro teatro. Falsedad bien ensayada. Estudiado simulacro. Perdona que no te crea, me parece que es teatro. Perdona que no te crea, lo tuyo es puro teatro. Con el llanto de tus ojos y las manos sin destino, te vi partir. Destino cruel que así mató todo.
amor que nos unió. Ay, adiós, qué triste fue el adiós que nos dejó al partir, ya sin voz de llorar. Partir fue regresar a mí al escuchar tu voz sin tener. Vivir así, porque tanto dolor. Ay, adiós, qué triste fue el adiós, amor, qué enorme soledad me quedó.
¡Sí, bueno! que decirte que mi amor se extingue como una pobreza y que poco a poco se queda sin luz. Yo sé que te mueres cual pálido lirio.
Tito Tente every Thursday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Eddie, is that still the same singer?
Well, you know, we just heard a cha-cha, so, you know, once again, something I wanted to give you, because, you know, the one that had to, you know, those songs were pop songs during that era, you know, so. You heard their music on the radio. They weren't playing salsa. You know, they were playing, you know, music, you know, kind of safe, you know. It was, you know, they were wonderful universal themes, you know, about love and this and the other. So, but, you know, they would not play any of the big band music that was going on. It was new. It was, you know, that was the popular sound at the time, but it wasn't popular to the advertisers. So, and the radio stations were owned, you know, from, you know, there was a lot of interesting things that happened in New York, you know, when, you know, the Puerto Rican community, you know, got there in the 50s, there was no Spanish radio, no Spanish television, nothing. There was an AM radio station, I remember, it was in the 60s, And I remember a UHF channel started sometime in the 60s as well. Closer to maybe the 50s, 60s. But, you know, the music we've been listening, you know, it kind of, that was middle of the road, so to speak. You know, that passed the mustard test, you know, to get on the air. And the people that were making the decisions of what music was going to get on the air, well, the owners of the radio stations, many of them, well, in New York City, you know, there was the Puerto Rican community didn't really take up the efforts to have a radio station, you know, an all Spanish speaking radio station. But a lot of the Cuban exiles, they came from working at radio stations in Cuba. So they knew how to operate. They knew what they needed. They knew the antennas. They knew that they had to get, obviously, a license from the FCC. And they knew all of that. And so the Cuban-Americans, the first Cuban that arrived, you know, during the 50s, probably the 40s, were the ones that became, you know, very active in the media industry, in particular with Spanish radio. Then it would be Spanish TV later on. But this music would not get on, you know, it would pass the, like I said, it would pass the test with these individuals. Okay, you can play it. But no. It took a long, you know, what we know today is some of that fast music, you know, the Tito Puente. I'll forget about Latin jazz. That came in the 70s. They would never play that. But some of the hits that made it through, you know, later on in the 60s, but even in the Fania, you know, with salsa, it wasn't mambo, it wasn't cha-cha, it wasn't boleros or trio music, you know. So it's interesting.
Now, the neighborhood that you grew up in, that was it was Spanish, right? Or was it Cuba?
In my neighborhood, was Puerto
in New
Rico.
York. Puerto Rican,
okay. Puerto Rican neighborhood. But, you know, it was interesting during that time because, you know, in the same building that I lived in, we had, you know, there were Puerto Ricans, there were African-American families, but we just said, you know, they were black families. We were blacks, and they were blacks, and there were Italians, and there were Jewish people. You know, it was interesting because if you lived in a tenement apartment building like I did, on every floor during dinner time, you might have a different cuisine going
smell,
on. Huh? Oh, forget about it. Southern cuisine, oh my God, you know, collard greens and things like, ooh, cabbage, and, you know, from the Jewish family, you know. I mean, there's all types of different, they weren't smells, but, you know, your sense of smell was very active, you know, so. Then later on, you got to taste that food and say, oh, I like it, you know, so. But, yeah, no, very mixed at that time, and then it became very, very much 100%, or let's say 90% Puerto Rican, you know, by the time '60s rolled around, and the police department, there was corruption in the police, and they were in the sanitation department, didn't pick up the garbage, you know, landlords, you know, if there was no heat, there was, you know, if your kid got hit by a rat, you know, well, lucky you survived, you know.
They had like the slum landlords. What we call the slum landlords.
It's interesting, though, because those were the same landlords that were there before the Puerto Rican.
They owned the building. Those were the Jewish people.
Yes, but the apartment dwellers, the people who rented the apartments, were Jewish. A lot of these neighborhoods were entirely Jewish. And some Puerto Rican families, some black families, some Italian families. Well, I think it probably started Italian first. But in the 50s, it was Puerto Ricans who come into the neighborhood that had once been entire beautiful buildings, because, you know, my mom is still alive. She's going to be 100 years old. And she said that apartment in Bronx that they were able to bring us from Puerto Rico to see, because they got an apartment. He said that building was absolutely clean. Everything was, it was a nice neighborhood. You know, the school was, was a good school. It was a public school, and they had a nurse in the school. They had a doctor in the school. You know, they had good lunch programs. You know, it's funny because I didn't qualify because both my parents were working. I couldn't get the lunch program. But, they were wonderful neighborhoods. I remember, the tree and everything being clean, And then all of a sudden.
So I'm seeing that this is a pattern.
Pardon?
Yeah, I'm seeing that this is a pattern because when we moved in our neighborhood, it was all Jewish and one or two blacks. But then after the few years, it became all black, and then all the service changed. You know, like you say,
right.
It was beautiful when you first moved in, but when they moved all out. You know, then it was like we weren't keeping it up, but the city wasn't giving us the service that they were giving. When they were there, they would come and shovel the sidewalks. We didn't have to even shovel the sidewalks. And they would do the streets, but when it turned over to us, then, they stopped all of that. So I'm seeing that it's a pattern. That's why I asked you that.
I believe it is, and obviously it has to do with some type of definitely discrimination because I don't think those people that were living there before, blacks were living in your neighborhood or Jewish or Puerto Ricans started, renting a lot of apartments in my neighborhood because the Jewish people left. And but I don't think even the Jewish people, I don't think they were cleaning up. I just think that they had
the service,
services that helped, the services that would be provided in the city that you live in, but the color of your skin and had a lot to do with things that happened. In the Bronx, murders and things like that or overdoses, you never heard of people getting arrested. Now you do, this guy's arrested. Back then, no. It was like the attitude was, I'll let them kill each other, another one, another chunk, another, robber, burglar, thief, let them all, they're all like that. And so, that's what happened. And I think that a lot of inspiration came out of that and a lot of, determination, for those that wanted to move on, like my parents and what they taught us, their children. And so, again, back to Tito Puente grew up in Spanish Harlem, and those neighborhoods back then in Spanish Harlem, there were Italian neighborhoods in East Harlem, and then they, Spanish Harlem was there from the 20s, because Puerto Ricans were moving into New York, and the first place that they would be able to find, their own kind of people, the restaurants or the groceries, et cetera, the foods that they liked was in Spanish Harlem. I remember that myself. And then, but in the Bronx, you have Puerto Rican food everywhere. I think you have one barbecue, Johnson's barbecue, with the greasy French fries, fish and chips. And greasy as can be. Everybody put, they put hot sauce, ketchup, I'm telling you, salt. And everybody had a meal. I mean, not a meal, but that was a 10 cents. But, these neighborhoods turned like that in the projects. They started building open housing. And those became Puerto Rican neighborhoods or black neighborhoods. But yes, it is a pattern. But, Tito Puente left us a lot of music, and I want to get back to Tito Puente and see what you got up next.
All right, here we go.
una vez un señor con lo claro de la aurora quedó preso de una flor lejos de su ruiseñora. Y pasando la tarde en el río, ella vio que la noche moría y cantándole a Dios en suspiro, moribunda de amor le decía, ay, ¿dónde estará mi vida? Ay, ¿por qué no viene? Que Rosita encendía, me lo entretiene. Agua clara que camina entre sombras y timbrales, dile que tienen espinas las rocas de los rosales, dile que no hay colores, que yo no tenga, que me muero de amor.
Mira,
Oye, mi socio, ponte a gozar. Oye, mi socio, ponte a gozar. Después no digas que no te invité. Después no digas que no te invité. Al baile que va a estar sabroso, con Tito Puente tocando el timbal, con la Gigi que invita a gozar. ¿Eh? ¡Ay, no más! Mi rumbo.
Power Show with Beverly and Eddie Rodriguez. Eddie?
Yes, Beverly, that was incredible. That last composition was, that music has transcended all centuries. I mean, this is, we're talking about, the Afro Caribbean experience and how languages from Africa, the Yoruba language in particular, and was maintained all these years throughout those centuries, with ceremonies that they that they used to have to worship, the god of the ocean, the goddess of the ocean, of the fire, they had different, gods and goddesses that they worshiped, the river, rain, everything that you could think of in terms of nature. And so, those ceremonies were conducted with two-headed drums in different sizes. They have, instead of standing them up, you put them on your knee, on your knees, both of them. And from each side, each hand, they're hitting skin, the top of, it's goat skin, the drum.
Okay.
So you get the drum, that's the drum. And there's a small one, there's the one that's a lead, and then the drum is a little bit bass. Tito Puente had this, had La Lupe, who knew those ceremonies, and Tito Puente was also very much respected, and was part of that. Though he was always a Catholic, but his spiritual life was was incredible, because he knew, he respected, and he was entertained that whole concept of a lot of artists during that time, were drawn to that particular religion, which is the Santeria religion. It's not voodoo, it's not any of that. It's all about worship, It's about trance, it's about getting in touch. I mean, I've been to these ceremonies, and it's really, it's like when you go to a Pentecostal church, and about the spirit, and that, they're touched, and you say, wow, there's something here, And so it's the same thing with the Afro-Cuban, Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Brazilian experience with their religion or worshiping the way their ancestors worship.
Yeah.
And they might not be black. It could be white, in between. So, it was interesting, to hear that and that entire set with La Lupe, tragic way that her life took. But everyone,
When did she pass on?
La Lupe, I remember La Lupe still being around in the 70s, and I saw her in the 80s in San Francisco, so around that time,
Okay.
And she rested, because her voice, as you could hear, her voice, she hit those. And so, if you just look at her voice, not the words, but as an instrument, how she was able to feel the music, and you could feel it through her, her interpretation. And the chemistry between her and Tito Puente, it was incredible. You can hear it, it's like, we've lost a lot of great, great human beings and God-given, talented musicians who have left their music for us to continue to enjoy. And I hope your listeners tonight, took a different side of looking at Tito Puente with the arrangements. And you heard the saxophones or the trumpets or the flute or whatever, the piano, whatever it was, and the voice as an instrument. Not understanding the words. Tito Puente was able to do that with audiences, in the Catskill Mountains in New York City. It was all Jewish summer camps. They used to go from New York City upstate New York, and Grossinger's, famous, not resorted. These were hotels that had cabins, and they had pools, and they had a lake. So people used to go there for the entire summer. And so Tito Puente was part of that community. At the same time, since he grew up in Spanish Harlem, and there were so many Italians growing up in Spanish Harlem with him at the time, and he went to the military with us, to the Navy with us as well. So, all the Italian people knew him, spoke English. He spoke Spanish, but, English was his first language here in being born in Spanish Harlem, New York. It was just so many people, even with boleros or with cha-chas or with mambos, like you just said, with Oriente and a few others, or Yemi Socio. They start off as kind of like a cha-cha, but then it turns into like a mambo. But it's a pleasure, just listening to this music, putting it together. I listen to it, but then during the show, I listen to it and I say, wow, what an amazing man, you can imagine he has a song, he has a singer, he can read notes, obviously, so he knows to play piano, knows how to, so he knows what notes there are, so he gets the melody, they didn't have cassette tapes at that time, But he took that sheet music or that lead sheet with the melody and the vocals, what key was the song was going to be arranged in. So with the instrumentation, the sax, the trumpets, the percussion, bass, the piano, and the chorus, the background vocals, you hear that a lot. So, Tito Puente created a lot of wonderful, wonderful music. I hope people can look at it now from a different point of view and say, wow,
Yeah.
He was all, he recorded two albums a year. That's what he told me. And more if he could, Because he always wanted something new to go back to the market, back to on tour, so to speak. mm-hmm. and bring to his people. This is my latest thing. I tell him so on my next album. And on my, you know, I heard once Elvis Presley, Tito Puente was signed to RCA Records in the 50s. And Elvis Presley introduced Tito Puente as a, you know, a new artist at RCA and coming out with his new release soon. You know, a promo, 45. I was with Tito when the person came with the 45. He wanted him to autograph it. But he played us the tape of the promotional two minutes, at, you know, whatever it was. And it was Elvis Presley talking about big new artist, Tito Puente. So he's from Tennessee. You're from Detroit, man, you know, but he's able to say it. And you can too. So with this, I will leave you with Tito Puente, rest in peace. I hope your audience enjoyed what we're doing. This is a public service to educate and entertain about music that they would not normally be aware of. And in the past, and down the line we'll do the present, and down the line we'll do the future. So thank you once again, Beverly.
Thank you.
Looking forward to next week. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back next week.
Ante tu altar, hoy vengo suplicante a pedir por el alma de mi amado que la muerte tan cruel me ha arrebatado.
Llorando. ah.